In a couple weeks, we're going to have our series begin on getting fit. And I thought what I would say these first couple Sundays while we're here trying to get our bugs kinked out and fixed out and get all the kinks worked out and all that stuff. And it occurred to me that this is not the church. The facility is a vehicle for promoting, preaching, and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a place where we gather to worship God, to fellowship together, be instructed, and specifically pray for one another. Now, my contention in these next 2 weeks, this is not a series per se, these are both one-offs, but I want you to realize that you are the church, not this facility. Now, we want to thank God for this place, right? I'm astonished at how well it sounds in here, aren't you? I thought it would be terrible with the echo and stuff, but God worked that out. There were so many last-minute things that help us get to this place, and so we're grateful for this opportunity. And by the way, just as a sidebar, did anyone get a look in the parking lot? Sunday at 10 o'clock, look at all the opportunities out there. There was a lot of cars. I didn't think there would be that many people here. And people dropping off their kids. So we just need to keep loving people. And I want you to be people that smile and shine and are that are gregarious and that are kind and generous in your spirit toward other people around here. No matter if you get bad looks and, you know, get away from me in church, I don't want to smile and say amen and do all that you can to be a bright light here. This is probably the biggest opportunity that we've had overall with regard to being surrounded by people who now are aware of us, okay? Except for the fun fest. And this is a different opportunity, and I would assume that a lot of people here that are here today come frequently and probably on weekends. So we're not going to hand out tracts. We're not going to be standing outside with sandwich boards, but we will be generous to people, right, and kind. And let them know that we're a people that are people of action, not just people of words. And this morning is proof that you, church, are people of action. And I'm proud of you for what we've accomplished even today. We were set up and ready to go by about, 9:05 or so? And we came early. Mark ordered us here at 8 o'clock. And we were here mostly, and we got in, and it took us a little bit longer to get things arranged. And they had all these chairs set up over there at first, but we got all that straightened out. And you know who did that? The church. We got all of our sound set up and all the equipment set up and all the things set up here. And this, I told Michelle, I said, just what I envisioned in my head is exactly what you see. This is how I envisioned it right here, just like this. And could it be better? Yeah. And, but it's great. To me, this is great. We need to tweak and do some things, sure. But guess who's doing it? And that's the most exciting part. The church. The church is doing it. And that's really exciting to me. And so, yes, it's sort of cliche to go to Acts 2:42 and what the church, early church, did in terms of Pentecost and the time after Pentecost. But I didn't want to focus on what the church was doing at first in the second portion of that verse, verses 42 through 47. I wanted to focus on verse 42 today. So Acts 2:42, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to four things. And going forward, this is what we're going to devote ourselves to. However, I just want to remind us, we have already been devoting ourselves to these things. But with any time we have change in our lives, we need to get back to the foundational principles that got us here. Let us not forget our foundational theology. Let us not forget the way we view Scripture. Let us not forget that Christ is deity and He's supreme in all things. Let us not forget that the Bible is the final authority for faith and practice. Let us not forget the foundational principles that make the church the church. And that is, devoting yourselves to the teaching of the Word of God. That's first. Second is the fellowship. Koinonia, if you want to call it that, but Koinonia had, you've heard of Koinonia groups and all that over the years. That is true, it's fellowship, but it had more of a religious tone to it, more than just specific fellowship. Today I'm focusing on the word ekklesia, which is who you are. Sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, which we know they're different. We know the Lord's Supper is communion. And we know as sharing meals together is important in developing relationships. So I'm going to refocus our energies on these four things going forward, especially with regard to getting fit. And finally, prayer. We must pray. For us to have any chance in this hostile world, we must pray. God has to go before us in all things. God has to be the center. God and Jesus Christ has to be the one that calls people to worship Him here. God has to be that. And we are God's helpers, if you will. We're the disciples. He needs the church. Well, technically, does he? Well, yes, that's his light in the world. That's how God functions in the world that we live in, is through the church and by his Holy Spirit. Naturally, first the Holy Spirit and then by his people. That's how the Lord functions on earth. And so there's the four things that we focus on: teaching, fellowship, sharing meals, and prayer. Deanna offered a few weeks ago to do a women's Bible study in the fall. I think that's a great idea. I looked at those materials. I think it's great. Deanna, you have my blessings, proceed, right? And all you women need to join that and get involved, because it's really important that the women get together, just like the men need to get together, just like the church needs to get together, because that's teaching and fellowship. So we really need to focus on that. And then maybe quarterly or so, or maybe sooner, maybe monthly, bi-monthly, we need to get together and share a meal. We used to do that. We need to start doing it again. Again, Deanna's offered her place to host that. I think that's an exciting opportunity, and we should take advantage of it. And at these teachings and at these Bible studies and at these meetings, we need to pray. Pray for our church. Pray for our people. Pray for one another. Pray for God to help us in all of our endeavors, open our heart to His Word, break our heart for the community and the lost, and continue to do the wonderful things that He's doing. Prayer is so very important to break down those invisible strongholds that are out there in this world. You know, the devil's got his hand and fingerprint all over this world. And we need to break down those strongholds by the power of God's Spirit. And when that God's people pray, that's when it happens. We could start our own movement. It's called church. Geez, a novel concept. So in Matthew 16, Jesus uses the word twice in the Bible. Only two times this word ekklesia. And it's described an assembly of Christians gathered for worship in a religious meeting. It's specifically for worship. So when you think of the church body, we often refer to the ecclesiasti as being leaders of church. But that's not what Jesus meant. He meant the body of believers getting together in worshiping God. That's ekklesia. Now, does that necessarily a split in hair? Well, perhaps. But, you know, like when I was in the military, I had to get an ecclesiastical endorsement. Somebody who claims to have some position of authority, which they really don't, says, yeah, we agree with you and what your theology is, and we'll sign off, and you can be a military chaplain. But understand, there's nobody that has any authority, any real authority. You're the Christian. You're the person who is a saint. You are a saint. You have full authority over your religiosity. And what's most important about that is your responsibility to obey God. That's primary. There's no authority in ecclesiastical arrangements and bishops and all these others. Nonsense. There ain't any more any Christian than you. Now, are there elders in the Bible? Yes. And that's people that have been Christians a long time. That's all that is. And that have demonstrated consistency in their faith, who have been men or women of prayer. Now, a woman should not be an elder. That's what the Bible says. But we're not going to get into that discussion today. It's not important. But the bottom line is that people that are elders are supposed to be ones that have been Christians a long time and have been in the faith and have been faithful in their commitment to Jesus Christ. Not a new believer, especially, is what the Bible says. Not a new believer. Well, good. Other than that, what does it say? Deacons. And what are deacons? Servants. But what are Christians? Servants. Deacons have a special place because they're the ones that maintain the order and the function of the church. So in some senses, the whole team that comes Sunday morning to set up before 10 o'clock, you're all deacons in a way because you're all servants. Now, yes, we have musicians and we have others, but a lot of us wear a number of hats, don't we? That's what servant is, a deacon. Now, do we have an official deacon board? No. Someday we could. Is it necessary right now? No, but when it becomes necessary, then we'll have it. And that's kind of the way it's been around here. When things become necessary and we forecast and we project, then we kind of look at what we need to fill those gaps at that point. That doesn't mean that we're reacting. We're still being proactive in our thought processes. Nevertheless, when we gather together as the church, who you are, that's ecclesia. So this ecclesia is not the building. I thought for so long, what was I going to say this morning? You know, we're here at the Y finally. You know, not doing the spiritual fit series. And this is it. It's not the building, friends. It's not even, we could worship God in a tree cluster out there. Doesn't matter. Somewhere in a field with hay bales. Or in or down by the river. It doesn't even matter. The gathering, ecclesia, the gathering is what Jesus talked about. That is a group gathered together, bonded by the Holy Spirit, specifically to grow in their faith. Now, if you're not growing in your faith, at least in your own perspective, there should be some questions you should ask. Am I reading my Bible? Am I praying for other people? Do I love my enemy as I love myself? Am I taking care of others and putting their interest above my own? Am I obeying God in the ways that I'm supposed to obey Him? If there's areas in there that aren't being, you know, conformed to, if you will, no wonder you're struggling in your faith. There's no peace. No wonder why. Because the Holy Spirit keeps saying, change, 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 change. And guess what? Today is the beginning for generations of change. See? We're finally here. Man, last night I was scared to death. I was wondering, how is this going to work out? What are we going to do? I didn't know where we were. I was just in fear and trembling saying, well, Lord, you gotta do it. Did He? And with whose help? The church's help. You know, when I used to do marriage counseling when I was a chaplain a lot, and I still do, but we just haven't had those scenarios as much. And the couple would ask me, can God save our marriage? And I'd always smile and I'd say, yes, He can, with your help. And He's going to use you to do it. You see what I'm saying? That's how it works, gang. And so we're the voice, we're the, you know, Jesus gets represented in ecclesia. This is where the world sees Christians. And we even got a window up there. And let's pray that the masses come and watch. And we should be praying that they walk through that door curious. And when they walk in that door, I'm telling you right now, you, all of you, you need to be looking out for that door when visitors walk in and walk right up to them and greet them and make them feel at home, get them a cup of coffee, get them seated, and take care of them. Everybody's mission is that mission. Don't be standing here focusing on yourself eating a donut. You can do that at 10 to 10. But between now and then, you need to be looking at people that might be around or look at, hey, and make sure that nobody walks in here and is doing this. What do I do? Where do I go? It's all of our jobs. It's not just greeter. John agreed to go out there and help people find the way in. We're going to get another sandwich board to put down there at the end. And that's great for people. Let them know that we're here. It's just a sign. Just so people have an awareness of what's going on. But all of you, that's your job. It's not one person's job. It's not a committee's job. It's everyone's job. You see someone that you don't recognize, get them in there, shake their hand, pull them in the door, and get them in and get them a cup of coffee. Make them feel at home. And if there's somebody in this room that you don't know, you need to meet them today. Make sense? Remember, it's ecclesia, it's all of us together. And we grow in our faith when we do that. We stretch ourselves beyond the boundaries. We're committed to something that's bigger than ourselves. And of course, the Church of Jesus Christ is obviously bigger than any one person except for the Lord Himself. He is our leader. You might ask, well, what does coffee and donuts have to do with God? As we have coffee and donuts over there. I'm personally going through some changes right now. I got a surgery on Tuesday. Who knows? It might be a disaster. Things might go bad. It might get infected. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm trusting in the Lord that it'll get fixed. Because, oh Lord, I love those drums. Now, as it turns out, I don't need my knee for the drums. I need my ankle and my toe, and I'm good. But I ain't going to be bending it next week. There ain't going to be no, I'll be in here like this, on a crutch, like hardly putting weight on it, because that's what I've been told I have to do. But I'm still going to be here. There ain't no Sunday morning sickness. There is no Bible study, you know, colds. I'm going to be here. And if I'm here injured, I need to set the example, and I will. That doesn't mean you have to do what I do, but I just feel called to be here. And this coffee and donut business. Well, I'm not eating donuts right now. I need to lose some weight for the surgery. I'm doing real good. Feeling better. And I'm going to keep going another 3, 4, 5 months. By December, you should join me in a quest to change something small. Maybe add a fast. Maybe add a prayer time specifically at Thursday at 3 o'clock. I have my alarm on my phone set every day at 3 o'clock to pray. And at 3 o'clock every single day, I pray the Lord's Prayer. Every day, period. You should do the same. Well, why 3 o'clock? Well, that's kind of when the Jews, it's one of their prayer times. 3 o'clock is that midday prayer. So I just said, whatever. Yours could be 4 o'clock in the morning. Yours could be 6 in the morning, 10 at night. Whenever it is, just do it. Take some time to read your Bible every day. Or pull up on your app, just read a verse or two. Or go back over the passage that I chose for Sunday. Just read it again. Forget about what I said. Just read the scripture. That's what's really... So let's all join together and let's pick something in our lives that we're going to change. Something we're going to change about ourselves and struggle with. And don't pick the thing that you know is impossible. You know, don't say, at the end of October, I will have lost 75 pounds. I assure you, you will not. Don't try to set goals you can't meet. But you know what you can do is maybe pick up the Bible and take a look at the passage. Do it by yourself, alone, not with anyone else. Go into your closet, pray. Go into your closet, read the Bible. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to literally go in your closet. Although, if that's what you want to do, then by all means, do it. Point is, pick up the Bible and read a passage at some point, any little thing. Well, my goal for coffee and donuts in any fellowship is for the purpose of socializing, discussing upcoming activities, and spending time together. That's the point. That's it. I don't know if it'd be all that fun with, you know, broccoli and cauliflower Sunday mornings. And coffee and donuts, hey, if you don't eat donuts, don't eat them. If you eat them, eat them. I have a cup of coffee. I love coffee. I've always loved coffee. I drink coffee. But I want to get together. I sit down almost, 8 of 10 Sundays, Eddie, and sit down and talk to you right away? Just because I'm taking your temperature. I want to see where you're at. You could do the same. I care. I'd like to know about you. What are you doing? Where are you going? What's going up in the next coming week? I'd like to sit down and have a cup of coffee with you and ask about your life. That's the point of coffee and donuts. We get an opportunity to do it here. Let's take advantage. And now we have another change that's really great, and I get to preach longer, and I'm going to. But we don't have to leave this room till 12:30. So we have plenty of time for fellowship after our service. I'll still try to get done at 11 something. But we got lots of time now. We don't have to be in a hurry. So we have more time to socialize, get together. At some point, maybe we could share a potluck meal here. We can have food in here. You know, whatever it is. I think you get the point. People today are ever-presently lonely, including church folk. We're just lonely. Even if we're surrounded by others, and with all the social media and the connections, nothing can replace ecclesia. Nothing can replace what we do here. People are lonely. And you know why they're lonely? Because not many people know them. You hear how I said that? It's not that they don't know others, but not many people know them. They don't know who you are. They don't know what's going on in your life. They don't have a connection of someone that they can reach out to and say, hey, let's go have a cup of coffee. Hey, let's go get a burger. Let's chit-chat. Whatever it is, people are lonely for that connection, even when they're surrounded by people. And so we can create an environment around here of trusting each other enough to give us that space to let us know each other's what's going on in each other's lives. For items of prayer, to make that connection, to feel like we're not walking this journey alone. Imagine the people out there who are walking this journey alone, whether it's a Christian journey or not. We have an opportunity to show them a different thing. You know, there's clubs, there's book clubs, there's the Toastmasters, the speakers club, there's airplane clubs, there's all kinds of clubs. On social media, they got the Hive, they got all kinds of places. People get together surrounded by subjects. But none of those groups do what Ecclesia does. None. Not even close. Ecclesia provides something that nothing else on earth can. Singing, sermons, and solidarity with Christ all at once. That's what makes the church unique in the world. We get together and have fellowship, solidarity. We have a sermon. We preach the gospel of the word. We preach the Bible, and we sing songs that worship God together. These are all elements that these other clubs and groups cannot provide. And we do it purposefully. And when we do this, we grow in our relationship with God and in our relationship with one another. Did you realize that your active participation and presence enhance the support of the gospel? Because when you're involved, you are ecclesia. You are part of a group who has come specifically for fellowship, and the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to speak to us, and we get to share with one another and our concerns and share the gospel and live it out. It's totally different. And so when you participate, your presence is so important here because it promotes and it advances the gospel more than it does anything the church can do by itself. We need the Holy Spirit, don't we? Of course. Each one of us needs the Holy Spirit to direct us and to help us in all of our endeavors. And so when the Holy Spirit starts working in the heart and speaking to your heart and mind, maybe that's the time when you share that with someone else. But we're afraid to do that. Because we hear, you know, as someone walking, the Holy Spirit told me that you need, well, we're skeptical, aren't we, sometimes? Maybe we shouldn't be so skeptical at first. Maybe we should listen to hear, you know, maybe there is something there. And consequently, if you're in tune with the Spirit of God anyway, if someone does that, you're going to know right away whether it's him or the wolf or someone's flesh. You're going to know right away. You'll know right away. You won't be deceived. And Jesus will help you by his Spirit. Remember the disciples said, don't be deceived. Jesus told that to the disciples, don't be deceived. Well, how do you not be deceived? By knowing the Word of God. There was a time here a couple years back where another church asked us to perhaps look at consolidating efforts. But their theology was wrong. Their theology was wicked. Their theology was evil. And it took me time to figure out what was going on, but I soon realized that this is something, and we are not getting involved in this. We can't do it. Now, the only thing we can do is pray. You know, I wasn't hostile. I didn't say, oh, you get out of here. You're not, you know, this, you guys are false prophets, which in a sense they were. I just merely loved them and was praying that God would brought me to them to help them see their error. That's what I did. That's what I thought in my mind. So with having that thought process, I was generous in my spirit. I was kind and gentle, hoping that they would see their error. That's our job, is to protect the truth of the gospel. That's participating in the church leads to those kinds of situations. Being a part of a group, I mean, you can always come to me and ask me about something if you have a question about something like that. I will help you with that. My degree is in theology. That doesn't make me smart, but I understand theology. So your presence supports the mission, and that mission is to promote the gospel, and we have all these opportunities to do that here and elsewhere and everywhere else. And let's not forget our purpose. Our purpose does not need a 17-paragraph statement. I've seen some churches' statement sites, and it just is, goes on and on and on, and by the time you get done reading the document, you don't even know where they are. You don't even know where they started at. So we need to keep that mission simple. And that mission is based on the Acts 2 passage, 2:42 through 47, and that is, you know, that we are here to make disciples for Christ. That's our mission, is to win souls for Christ and to make disciples. If you look at the second part of that Acts passage, verses 43 and following, you'll see some other things there that I'll talk about just briefly. I'm not going to get into it in length because you're very, very familiar with this. I'm just going to highlight just a couple of things here. It says, in 43, a deep sense of awe came over them. When did a deep sense of awe come over them? When 42 was applied. When verse 42 was lived out in the ecclesia. When the church did what we're supposed to do, all the believers devoted themselves to apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. And as a result, a deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and the believers met and shared and all the things. I wanted to focus on verse 43. So when we do the four things that God is calling us to do here in 42, verse 42, what happens is a sense of awe. And we see that God is really working in our midst. A deep sense of awe came over them, and that is caused by the Holy Spirit. One last thing I want to say, and in verse 47 at the end of the last sentence, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now that was a little bit different as a community, and there wasn't cities and there wasn't towns and suburbs. And that. But listen, we should grow as a result of doing the four things that I talked about. And next week we're going to have another one off, but it's going to be about the church. What's our mission? Let us be reminded. And then when we kick back together on the 22nd, we'll launch and we'll do a series on spiritual fitness, getting fit for Christ. What does that look like? What does fitness mean in our spirituality, in our relationship with God? We're going to look at that. So let's not forget what our purpose is here. It's to win people for Christ and make disciples. Upward is what? Getting our relationship with God worked out, wherever that is. What is up, outward? Outward is this notion that we get when we get this relationship worked out, these relationships get worked out. We're better in a relationship with one another, our spouse, our kids, our family, our co-workers, others, our neighbors, and else others. And then forward is what? Preaching the gospel. Willingness to share your faith with those that are lost. Let's not forget our mission. Our location changed, but our mission has not. Worship team, would you come?